You're listening to SBS News.
A man in his 60s walks into Sydney's Westmead Hospital with flu-like symptoms. He's placed into isolation and swabbed for the new mystery virus. On the 25th, his test comes back positive. It was one of the first cases in Australia and a challenge for Dr. George Zhao's team to treat.
We didn't know what kind of treatments we were giving, and there were a lot of treatments that were used overseas, which we were trying to incorporate, and we didn't know what was best for the patient at that time.
This man was one of four cases recorded on this day last year. All were travellers from China, and within a week, the Prime Minister Scott Morrison had banned visitors from the country altogether.
We're taking the necessary precautions. We're in fact operating with an abundance of caution in these circumstances.
On February the 3rd came the first of many repatriation flights. 243 Australians evacuated from the virus epicentre Wuhan and were taken to Christmas Island. As the virus spread, cruise ships became floating hotspots. The Diamond Princess docked at Yokohama Port off Japan on February the 4th. All passengers, including hundreds of Australians, were quarantined in their rooms.
You've got the bedside table, the bed, another bedside table. So this is the extent of our room.
700 people on board tested positive to the virus, including West Australians Iris and Val Romaldo.
I just wanted, to lie down and sleep, but he was very concerned.
Yeah, I was, yeah. Really. First time I see some blood.
Because I had all the symptoms.
I'm going to lose hair.
Diarrhea, vomiting, everything. I had everything.
The Australian passengers were eventually flown to the Howard Springs mining camp outside Darwin in the Northern Territory. And among them was 78-year-old Perth man James Kwan, who on the 1st of March became the first Australian to die from COVID-19. Serious mistakes made too during the pandemic. On March the 19th, the Ruby Princess docked in Sydney and 2,700 people were allowed to disembark, even though a number of sick passengers were waiting for COVID-19 results. In the coming weeks, more than 600 passengers would test positive, 28 would die. After a damning inquiry, the New South Wales Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, was forced to take responsibility.
I want to apologise unreservedly to anybody who is continuing to suffer or has suffered unimaginable loss because of mistakes that were made.
On March the 20th, Australia shut its borders to non-residents and non-citizens, and panic buying hit supermarkets, forcing Coles and Woolworths to limit toilet paper purchases.
I just want one pack. No, not one bag.
The bare supermarket shelves prompted this outburst from the Prime Minister.
Stop it. It's not sensible. It's not helpful. It's been one of the most disappointing things I've seen in Australian behaviour in response to this crisis.
On the 22nd, Australia began the first lockdown with all non-essential services closed. Lines grew outside Centrelink, and the Federal Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, ended the month by announcing JobKeeper and JobSeeker to fight the economic impact of restrictions.
The past weeks have been tough, but the weeks ahead will be tougher.
The lockdown worked and the infection curve flattened for a few months before mystery cases started to climb in Victoria. By the end of July, the outbreak there had pushed Australia's daily cases to a peak of 746. With the second wave came a second round of statewide restrictions and eventually the lockdown of the Melbourne and Mitchell Shire. On August the 2nd, Premier Daniel Andrews declared a state of disaster and metropolitan Melbourne was placed under curfew.
And whilst I never thought that I would be telling people not to go to work, that is what we have to do in order to stop the spread of this wildly infectious virus.
Flaws in the hotel quarantine system were blamed for the second wave of infections. The Victorian Health Minister and two senior public servants eventually resigned over the hotel quarantine scandal.
Jenny Markakos resigned this morning. I believe that was the appropriate course of action for her to take.
But on the 26th of October, after one of the longest lockdowns in the world, there was hope. The state recorded zero cases and zero deaths, but the flare-ups would continue. In November, an outbreak in Adelaide prompted a six-day lockdown. Just before Christmas, Sydney's Northern Beaches region was declared a COVID-19 hotspot. And only a week into the new year, a scare about the more contagious UK variant led Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk to announce a three-day lockdown for Greater Brisbane.
All residents living in those areas will be required to stay at home. Think of it as a long weekend at home.
Politicians and health officials are working to beef up defences to stop the highly contagious variant entering Australia, while more than 38,000 Australians are still struggling to get home from overseas. A national vaccine rollout will begin next month. Lucy Murray, SBS News.